All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, February 27th, 2020. Ms. Hoffman, can you please call roll?
Mayor Dooley.
Here.
Councilmember Michelson.
Here.
Councilmember Vick.
Here.
Councilmember Devlin.
Here.
And Councilmember Holcomb has an excused absence this evening.
All right, if you'd all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, at this time we'll open the floor for public comment for items that are not on tonight's agenda. Public comments not to share your thoughts with the council. It is not necessarily a question and answer period. If you please step forward to the podium, state your name and address, and sign the sign-in sheet, that would be appreciated. Is there any public comment tonight? Ms. Barker.
Good evening, council members and mayor. My name is Stacey Barker at 104 Winslet Ave in Stevensville. I'm here once again to express my concerns about Nicole Court Housing Project, or what will soon be listed under a different name. As this piece of property has changed hands several times, which we have been told it is owned by Human Solutions, this property once again has been sold to another company. However, in the last few weeks, we have noticed several contractors surveying the property and digging more perk tests, which seems rather strange that these tests are being conducted in the winter months, which the readings truly cannot be accurate, as the ground is semi-frozen at this time. We have been told by the mayor that these things can be done without having a permit. However, permits will be required when they start moving dirt. I know that there has been several citizens in Stevensville that have gone to town hall asking questions about the project and if permits were even filed. The project will be starting soon. As citizens of Stevensville, it seems that some of us are not getting a truthful answer. When asking some stuff, members have asked if the permits were filed and can we see them. The answers are, or have been, we don't have access to them as these are locked in the mayor's office and you will have to come back at another time. We have been told nothing has been filed yet. Building official has stated to some citizens that he's seen the plans and some permits have been filed. So my question is, have the permits been filed? Yes or no? After listening to the audio from the January 27th Planning and Zoning meeting, Megan Hansen asked the mayor if this should come in front of the Planning and Zoning. The response was no, unless the property didn't follow protocol. However, it will be presented to the council and should be moved forward. Council members, I advise you that you take a long, hard look into Mini Code Sections 10-268 through 10-281, that whole section. After reviewing this for myself, all planned unit developments must be presented to planning and zoning boards. Then with recommendations from the planning and zoning board, it goes to the council for final review for approval or disapproval. I did reach out to other surrounding communities that have the similar projects and the protocol, and the final decision comes down to you as the council. Some of the concerns as a citizen and a taxpayer that I have within the project are: water levels will continue to rise and cause more water under my house, which will cause me to run sump pumps continuously. We saw the effects of higher water tables when they built the storage units, and the excess water was being pumped into the field, which is truly not the place for this water to go. Town water shortages happened last year to not being able to supposedly to town folks due to pump issues. Adding more units will not only stand up to the water demand, but it could cause other issues. Police force not having enough help when needed to patrol these areas, I feel that it's going to be a need, which we don't have at this time. These are the homes that are listed as low-income families, single families. We don't have jobs here to support these families. These are not lists for teachers, police officers, families starting out. This is for low-income housing. Look at the guidelines. Council, when it comes before you, take a good hard look at this. These are the reasons why Darby and Hamilton have turned away these projects. These type of housings is not meant for our community. Please listen to the citizens of Stevensville. You do have the final say in not being able to be told you don't. This is not the place to put 16 units in a small area. If you're not sure where this area is, it's behind Ace Hardware. 16 units. The other thing is the right-of-way and impact to the highway. Has anybody assessed this on how now the traffic will continue to grow? I am a concerned citizen asking you to have this project stopped. Thank you, Stacy Barker.
Okay, Mr. Adams?
Attention. Well, first of all, Mark Adams, 610 2nd. It's come to my attention that the town of Stevensville and the Stevensville Rural Fire District do not have a interlocal agreement. If that's true, it really sucks for several reasons. I'll just touch on one. Fiscal. The town of Stevensville has an interlocal agreement that includes a lease agreement with the rural fire district. The two south bays on the fire department building belong to the rural fire district. They own the structure. The town of Stevensville owns the ground, the dirt underneath. It's roughly equivalent to a trailer that's parked in a trailer park where you own the trailer, but you don't own the ground that it sits on. You pay rent. And that's what the rural fire district does, or was doing up until about a year ago when the current or former interlocal agreement expired. They were paying $500 a month. Okay, in a year's time, that amounts to $6,000. The town of Stevensville hasn't been getting that money. Why not? Also, no interlocal agreement means that the ISO ratings potentially go up. Up. ISO is Insurance Services Office. It's the rating system that the insurance company use for your fire insurance rates. And it's a 1 to 10 scale, 1 being the best you can get, and 10 being the worst. Right now, both the city and the rural fire district are at 4. Okay? Now then, when the ISO representative comes in and does their inspection, if they see there's no interlocal agreement, then we are two separate entities when it comes to fire suppression. Okay? What does that mean? The rural fire district and the city being separate entities do not have the capabilities to maintain a 4 rating by themselves. So, their rating would go up. Where? 5, 6, 7? Nobody knows. But that potentially is an increase to my fire insurance, to your fire insurance. So I ask you, those of you that sit on the council, what kind of a mayor deliberately stops a revenue stream? And what kind of a person potentially raises the rates for not just the city people, but anybody that lives in the city or within the rural fire district? Do you people understand what's going on? Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dave Thorson. I live on Winslow Avenue also, 106. Put that down here. And my wife and I wrote letters to the council and to the mayor several months ago. And we got a response from the mayor. And I just want to make sure these questions that we have are being addressed, and it seems like a lot of the things that Stacy Barker brought up are the same concerns we have with flooding. For the first time, my daughter owned a house before we bought it, and they never, in 17 years, never had water in the crawl space. And last year we did, and there was more snow maybe, but the addition of that storage units, all the packed gravel and the building covering ground where it could seep in, I think played a role in it. We had to come quite a bit out of there. We're opposed to it for that one of those, that's one of the reasons. And I was in law enforcement for a long time in Wyoming, and we dealt with low income housing, and everybody needs a place to live, but it increases the crime quite a bit if this is going to be similar to what we dealt with in Wyoming, with the people that, maybe not necessarily the people that live there, but the people that visit. The city doesn't really seem to be prepared to handle evening calls, nighttime stuff, that when most of the calls came in when we were there. I included some documents in the papers that the letter we turned in was a study done in New York on property values when low-income housing was put in, and it decreased by 2.5% a year after the first few years. I think Mayor might have a copy of those. I didn't bring it tonight. There's a lot of questions that we need to have answered before this gets approved, I think. In my book, there is, and I just hope that some of these things I can contact that Alex from this unit that's building it, talk to them and get some answers. But I just, without having concrete answers on what the outcome is going to be to some of these questions that have been raised, we just oppose the construction of this project. Thank you.
Is there any other further public comment? All right, we'll move on to the rest of our agenda. Approval of the minutes. You have before you tonight the February 6th, 2020 Board of Adjustment meeting and February 13th, 2020 Town Council meeting. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson, seconded by Mr. Vick to approve the minutes before you tonight. Discussion. Public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Devlin.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
All right. Next up, approval of biweekly claims, numbers 15681, 15806. Mr. Michelson?
Yeah, I'd like to make a request to see the agreement on the first call. Computer.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve that request for information.
Robert, do you have that available on your stack there?
And I'd also like to see the two written quotes.
All right, Mr. Underwood's going to grab the agreement for services off of his desk.
Would you like me to ask a couple other questions to keep it going, or do I want to wait?
It's completely up to you if you're willing to move on until he gets that to us, or...
Okay, well, maybe you could answer this, Brandon. On the visa expenditures, the $400-something for Lowe's for trash bags, is that for the whole town? Or?
Correct. That's primarily for public works. It is the contractor bags that they use to collect trash on Main Street and in the parks. They buy those in bulk for considerable savings. They buy a mini pallet or a half pallet of bags that they purchase. And it usually lasts them approximately a year.
I also have a question as far as the forestry pants. I'm assuming those for the fire department, of course. Are those a specialized pant that is repellent, or?
Yes, they're designed for wildland firefighting.
Okay. Do you know how many pairs that the fire department got, or what the cost of those was?
I don't off the hip. They are rather spendy. Okay. Given the material they're made out of, but they have a lifespan of 3 to 5 years, depending on how heavily they're used.
Okay. Is there somebody local you could get them from in Missoula or something, or is it just a specialized thing you can only get online?
No, they're available in Missoula. I think that's where they received these.
Oh, they didn't get them from forestry.
I don't know that I don't know exactly where they purchased them.
But it says here Forestry Supplies Incorporated.
Right.
So that, and I looked that up online, and there is a website there that sells these pants.
Sure.
So I'm assuming that's where we got those.
That's correct. That's what the claim states. So what you have in front of you, Mr. Michelson, is the initial services agreement, and then attached to that is a layout of the levels of service that the organization provides to us.
And this was done in November.
That's when we initiated the process, that's correct.
Okay. Our Tuesday meeting in your office, you stated to me that we were in a dating period.
That's correct.
And I asked you for this contract, and you told me that it was in the budget. I'd like to be shown where that is in the line item in the budget that was approved by the last council. My question here would be is, how could we approve enter a contract without council consent on 11-7, that's something that wasn't even in the budget yet. You didn't even know this would be approved yet.
So, like I said, that was when the process was initiated. It was in November. We didn't fully onboard until after the budget was adopted.
Why didn't this come before the council? The contract.
It is an agreement.
This should have been coming before the council, then.
Correct, and it was something that was included in the budget. If there's more lengthy discussion that needs to occur around the contract itself or around the services that are provided, I'd ask that you bring that up at a future council meeting for a more elaborate discussion, rather than bogging down the claims approval process.
Well, then,
because I do understand that Mr. Owens is looking further into the issue at your behest, and so I think it'd be prudent to give him an opportunity to fully vet that.
I'll make a motion to lay on the table 15796 until March 12th, until that meeting.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to essentially delay the approval of claim number 15796 to the March 12th meeting. Council discussion.
Okay. I don't see the two written quotes that support this, Robert.
He wasn't in the room when you were actually speaking of those.
Oh.
He's collecting the data.
Oh, that's okay. We can wait until the 12th meeting and then you can bring that up.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on the motion to delay payment of that claim? Public comment on delaying payment. All right. We'll call for the vote. Councilmember Devlin.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
All right. You have before you all other claims. Mr. Michelson?
Let's see here. Back to the Visa claims. The building department, the Expedia charge, the airline ticket, hotel room you want to ask. What was that for?
It's a training conference for the building inspectors.
Mm-hmm. Where was that, may I ask?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Is that correct, Robert?
Yes.
It's an international conference with code updates.
Okay, and also down here, as far as the, we discussed this in your office Tuesday, Brandon, but I just want some clarification on that gator.
So that charge is for shipping. The fire department was able to receive a utility terrain vehicle from the Department of Defense's surplus program. So there was essentially no charge to the town for the vehicle itself. However, we did have to pay to ship it here from wherever it came from. And the fire department had room in their budget to accommodate that charge. And so we moved forward. That's what that is.
Okay. Here, I'm trying to make sure that I get it all. That's it, Brandon. That's all I have.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve the remaining claims?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Devlin and seconded by Mr. Vick to approve the remaining claims. Discussion? Mr. Michelson?
One more.
Sure.
I think I talked to Robert about this. Robert, this Building Department International Code Council Incorporated, is this going to be the last time we see that? You thought you had to talk to Tim about that?
Yeah, I think that's the last bit of the stuff he had to buy.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion from Council on remaining claims? Public comment on the remaining claims? All right, hearing none, call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin.
Aye. Okay.
Claims are approved. There are no administrative reports tonight, nor are there any guests. Council has included in their packet a letter from attorneys Warden Thane regarding a sewer line issue, not a sewer lane issue, at 108 Main Street. It is quite lengthy. I will not insult the council by reading it to them. You've had an opportunity to review it. It is in the hands of the city attorney who's working with MMIA to address the issue. There are no public hearings to hold tonight, nor is there unfinished business, so we'll jump right into new business. Discussion decision, the annual review of position descriptions requested by Councilmember Michelson. You have just one moment. You have a... Councilmember Michelson submitted an agenda item back in January requesting that the council review position descriptions for all the positions within the organization. In an effort to help the council with that review, he obliged us some time to build an organizational chart and then link that to individual job descriptions so that you could navigate through and about and review them that way, and also give you a sense of how things flow through the organization by position. So that's provided for you in your packet. The packet isn't interactive, but the link on the website that we shared with you via email is interactive, so you're able to click on those boxes and review the position descriptions that correlate. So they're before you tonight for review. Mr. Michelson.
I make the motion that we do the annual review of position
position descriptions requested by Councilmember Michelson.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson, seconded by Mr. Vick to do the annual review of position descriptions requested by Councilmember Michelson. Council discussion.
Would you be willing to move that down to?
We have to vote on this first, oh, okay. Then we can move it.
I was doing a lot of work on it, and I would like to take this to the call meeting so we can further add it on the board of the public with a bunch of stuff that I think we need to adapt within the job descriptions. There's been many changes and additions. Also, I believe that when this is done, we should send it on forward like we always did before to MMIAs for their review for insurance purposes, make sure that there's no hidden gems that might come back and bite us.
If there are specific things you want to review tonight, we're happy to do that. I mean, I realize you don't want to necessarily bore the public, but it is your meeting and it's only 7:30, so. If you'd like to, I mean, if you'd like to put this on a COW agenda, we're happy to do that, but if you want to do it tonight, we're here. Mr. Michelson?
Councilmember Holcomb would like it just to go to a committee of the whole meeting. She would like to be in on this discussion.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on the annual review of position descriptions requested by Councilmember Michelson?
I'd like to make a secondary motion to lay the item on the table and include it into item C.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Mr. Michelson to lay this on the table and consider it under item C of the agenda. Discussion on the secondary motion. Public comment on the secondary motion. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
All right. You still have a motion on the floor to do the annual review of position descriptions requested by Councilmember Michelson. You want to address that motion? I'm not exactly sure what it completes.
Withdraw. Yeah, you can. I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay, so be withdrawn. We'll move on to item B, discussion decision, town attorney to be at council meetings only when approved by mayor and town council president. Mr. Michelson?
Yes. Per our discussion Tuesday, Brandon, I listened to your side. You stated that you felt that you and the staff would feel more comfortable with Scott being here at the meetings. You stated that in the past, the meetings here have gotten a little out of hand and getting a little raucous. And, of course, I told you I didn't agree with that. I'm looking at the budgetary. We're over budget. And also, it's not our city attorney's job to keep the peace here. It is the mayor's job to enforce council rules, to make sure that the public is under order. And if you can't do that, then Chief of Police Marvel should be here. That's his job. And talking with former Chief of Police Lou Barnett, he was at every meeting diligently for 21 years to make sure that the peace was kept. And I think that would be a good way to go. I think that in the budget season she started, and you've addressed that you're going to put more money in for the attorney, then I think we could address it at that point. But now I would like to see Scott not to be here at every meeting until we address that issue.
To clarify my point to you, Mr. Michelson, that I made, it was not my desire to have Mr. Owens here in order to keep the peace. I agree that that's not his job. The reason that it's, I believe it's important to him, to us to have him here in that regard is he is an available resource for the council during decision making. Not necessarily when people are outspoken or people say things they shouldn't, but when decisions come before the council that may have repercussions or effects to the community that maybe we're not aware of, he can bring those to light. It's much more helpful, at least to me in my position, to have him here witnessing the meetings rather than having to regurgitate the meeting in a non-biased way the morning after. I think maybe it could be considered a little early in the tenure of this council and this administration to be making this decision. I would ask that maybe council entertain the idea of reconsidering this question throughout the budget discussions, and maybe after a year of being, you know, of fully being on the council, after the first year of everyone being here and being comfortable at the table, then maybe we could revisit that question. But if you remember, when Mr. Owens was appointed, in fact, it was the meeting before Mr. Owens was appointed to the office, or confirmed by council anyway, a number of members of the public and some council members agreed that it would be very beneficial and that it was important that the city attorney be in attendance of the meetings. At that time, I didn't necessarily buy into the theory. I thought that it was going to be expensive, which turns out it has been, but that you know, it wasn't necessarily needed. Certainly, having him here has changed my mind, and we have gone through the general fund budget and have corrected the deficiency in the legal services budget. I should also point out to council that when you consider the legal services budget in its entirety, half of that expense is prosecuting services, which we have no choice but to pay, and that's entirely dependent on the criminal activity in the community. Mr. Owens is mindful of that budget as he prosecutes defendants in court, but it's largely out of our control as to what's spent there, and so that's half of the expense of having a city attorney. The other half is the civil work that he does for the town. But like I said, and as I told you I would do on Tuesday, we've corrected the budget, so the fiscal piece of that has been addressed, and we have made the money available to get us through the end of the fiscal year in anticipation that we would further discuss this within the budget. Michelson.
I still think that being over budget sends a bad sign. I remember when you were stumping for a new attorney, you specifically stated that the costs between the two, in your words, evened out. And I'm sure that's what you went by when you put the $15,000 budget on there. And I don't believe that we'd need our attorney here at every meeting. I just don't think so. Like I said, we can revisit it. I know you might have made some cuts elsewhere, but I don't think it's needed to be. Okay. It's my opinion.
Ms. Devlin.
Are we over budget, or did you not put the $17,000 in there? I'm kind of confused on.
We are, as of today, we are not over budget in legal services.
So was it meant to be put in there in the beginning, or did you take it?
We made cuts elsewhere in the general fund budget to compensate for this shortfall in that budget. Mr. Michelson.
May I ask where you made the cuts?
The cuts came from a surplus transfer that was planned to move into the capital improvements fund.
What surplus transfer?
There is a $40,000 surplus. There was a budgeted $40,000 surplus transfer from the general fund into the capital improvements fund. We reduced that.
I don't think it's a good idea to be moving money around like that just to accommodate. We're over budget on a lot of other things, and we're not making budget cuts and moving around for those things, but it seems to be that you're very adamant about Scott being here.
I am. I do think it's important in facilitating the council's meetings and the business of the town. I do think it's important to have Mr. Owens present.
And I think that you're saying that the budget will be adopted in July. You told me Tuesday.
That's our hope, yes.
Yes, that's your goal. Well, I think it would be good frugal of taxpayers' money if we stick to the budget as much as we can. And since you budgeted for $15,000 and we're up already at $17,000, Mother Robert? $17,900 or something? And I would like to, I don't think we need him here until we get the budget issue addressed this summer.
Ms. Devlin.
Do we know what the prosecution cost versus the cost of him basically being here? What that, are we up in prosecution costs or are we up because he's here every meeting?
Actually, when Robert and I looked to project what it would take to get us through to June 30th, what we had rebudgeted for was $1,200 a month in expenses for prosecution and $1,500 a month in civil work. And that civil work is a portion of his attendance at the meetings comes from that civil work. It doesn't exclusively contain that. It contains the other civil work that he does, phone calls with council, the mayor, review of policies, procedures, and that sort of thing. But we did notice an unanticipated, for whatever reason, uptick in prosecuting services that we didn't anticipate. So, as of yesterday, when Robert and I looked at the budget, we were $400 from exceeding the prosecuting services budget. So regardless, we're going to exceed that budget, and we already have exceeded the civil services budget. And a lot of expense that we've realized in the civil services was quite a bit of review and consultation around when we considered a water rates reduction. That wasn't something we anticipated bringing up as an administration. It's not to say that that's what put us over. I think a combination of things put us over budget. But I think it really, in terms of the budget, we really just missed the mark in terms of what we thought the attorney would cost us this year. That has to do with turnover of counsel and staff and a variety of things. And even the projected budget for legal services when we originally established it was below what Brian West had cost us under his contract. That was set before we anticipated having the city attorney at every meeting. So, the administration completely missed the mark on the budget. We rectified that through cuts in the general fund. So the general fund is not anticipated to go over budget whatsoever. So we are under budget in the general fund. We expect to maintain that. Directly to your question, prosecuting services is roughly $1,200 a month.
In our current contract, it states that he is to be here every meeting?
No, the contract does not state that.
It just is a minimum.
The contract says how we compensate him, which is there's a flat rate that we pay him every month,
right,
and then we pay him hourly and mileage.
Okay.
Mr. Matheson?
Also talking with Scott. Scott is willing to, this summer when we do our budget process again, he's willing to, correct me, Robert, Scott, to look at the mileage again and look at other things that maybe we could cut the cost some. Did you say we could look at the contract this summer? Or are you going to stick to that?
Well, I can't really go into the contract.
You can't?
Open it up. And all that stuff stays. I think the conversation that we had.
Just turn it. It's that one.
I'll speak up.
That was awful.
Okay.
I can't hear anything anyway. Sorry. If you refer to the conversation we had this afternoon.
No, actually it was the last meeting after that meeting.
Oh, okay. So something I said during that conversation was that there's a lot of other ways that we can skin this issue. There's a lot of middle ground if you wanted to entertain that. For example, telephonic appearances or calling me on half of the meetings. I mean, you're absolutely right. The cost of travel, the time I leave the door, your gas mileage is stuff that is obviously bringing up those bills. But at the end of the day, I think I've had this conversation with both you and the mayor, that it's a town's business, how they want to exercise legal services, and you guys just need to come to a decision and give me, for lack of a better word, marching orders from tonight as to what you want. But there are other ways besides the two not be here at all or be here at any meeting. But I think that's something that would be helpful for me, because I don't like to provide services for you. I want to have a clear expectation of what it was a whole want. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Michelson.
Also in January, this came up in January, Brandon, and we discussed this in your office. And I asked you if we needed to make a discussion decision on it, and you said a discussion would suffice. It was a 3-0 vote. Jamie was not here. 3 council members agreed that we didn't need Scott here. I thought that was good enough, but apparently, as Scott said, we discussed it, but we did not make a decision. So I guess I'm kind of confused as to why you changed your mind as far as a discussion when we said a 3-0 vote, we didn't need him here. It's now we're sitting here again tonight.
You didn't vote.
I asked you in the office and you said we didn't need to make a decision, that a discussion would suffice.
Because a discussion would suffice.
So it's your words.
Correct, in terms of knowing what the rest of the council, because your point in that meeting was, I can't speak for the rest of the council. And so I said, well then, a discussion would answer that question, right?
Right.
A discussion amongst the council members would tell us how they felt about the issue. We facilitated that discussion.
Okay. So here we are.
Correct.
I'll make a motion to have the Scott here only when the council president and mayor have agreed on having him here until next budget.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick and seconded by Mr. Michelson to allow the town attorney ask the town attorney to attend council meetings only when approved by the mayor and council president. Discussion.
I have a question. I'm trying to understand if we wait and re kind of see what other options you come up with for July, if we continue with the way that it's going until July and entertain some other ideas that are more cost effective. Are we looking at just it from the money aspect? Are we looking at it from a time aspect? What's the ultimate goal, I guess?
I think for me, it's more the money aspect of it, on how much we're already over expended that part of the budget. I know that you, Mr. Mayor, said that you'd move some money from the general fund. But this on this thing, it's words just escaped me. The best way to put it is we're already overspent, and I'm definitely not trying to restrict Scott from coming here. He can show up if he wants to. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a public meeting. It's just one of those things. If it's something that, if there's an agenda item that, if these two, for the time being, agree that mm-hmm. Scott needs to be here, then they can request that.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than it being just one party or the other saying, hey, Scott, I'd like mm-hmm. you to be here. That's my main thing. And it's, I mean, a little bit of it does have to do with time. But
mm-hmm. So what happens if you want him here and you don't want him here?
He's not going to be here. Both parties have to agree.
Sure. Is that going to, I mean, do you see that? I'm just wondering how, would that mean that he would never be here? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just trying to determine where that balance would be. Like, what is the determining factor for him being here?
In the past, when Brandon wanted Brian to be here, he requested it, and Brian was here. And if I wanted Brian to be here for a specific item or something, for questions, land issues, whatever, mm-hmm. then I would ask Brandon usually. It's kind of a mutual agreement to get through, then Brian would be here. So okay. That's what I'm kind of going on here.
Is that both parties?
We had a resolution at that time too, Jamie, because it wasn't so much the attorney being here.
Mm-hmm.
It was that people of council members that were calling him all the time. Mm-hmm. And every time you call the attorney, that's on the town's dime too.
Mm-hmm.
So it got out of hand, so they did a resolution where only the council president or the mayor, because the mayor traditionally uses the attorney basically full time, because he mm-hmm. does things in the office that we never even see or know. And that's
sure.
basically, that's their deal.
Mm-hmm.
And costs are incurred there.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, one, yes, they didn't budget right, and two, until we revise it this summer, which is 4 months away or whatever,
sure.
I just don't think he needs to be here. And if he wants to be here, and I'm very flexible, mm-hmm. I would say no, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Brandon says, I feel he should be here. I think it's questions that might be asked. Sure.
Sure. You talked about videoing in, or like a tele in.
Yes, that's an option. Doing a teleconference.
What kind of cost savings is that?
Well, looking at the bill, and I guess you can make a couple points
mm-hmm.
with this question. So when I came on board, I requested from the council or from the full-time staff all of the old attorney billing statements from Mr. West. And what I've been trying to do, which is an impossibility, I can't control what happens in the prosecution realm. And I tried to mirror exactly what Brian West did. I tried to keep my bills about the same as what his were. And his were about an average of 2,000 and sometimes up to 3,000. That's about 24,000 a year is what Mr. West was doing last year. So the $15,000 budget, the mayor, Mr. Mayor already explained that it was an oversight and put that budget together. But of course, since I've been on, I've come to every council meeting, and that costs fuel
mm-hmm.
and the time. And you can look at my billing statements, which have been requested. Mm-hmm. It usually comes out to about 1.6 round trip hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take that off bi-weekly, you're taking out at least, I mean, just rough math, $150 to $200, probably about $200 a month,
mm-hmm.
just in travel.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that would be a cost saving. That's what we discussed. If that is an area that you want to change moving forward and have the teleconference availability, there's that. It's just one, just another option.
Mm-hmm. That's $1,000 you would save until July.
Any further council discussion? Motion on the floor is to have the attorney in attendance and approved by both the mayor and council president. Public comment. Mr.
Central. Mr. Owens is an extremely valuable resource. Several times when I was on the council, we were able to ask him questions, get answers, and move forward. I think he's somebody that should stay in place until you can figure out the cost savings. Thank you.
Ms. Barker?
So I heard you guys say that you moved money around from budget, from different places in the budget to get where you needed to be. Where's the budget amendment? What departments is this coming from? It's a good question that you as council should know where that money is being moved. It's an answer that needs to be done by these guys as well. Where is it coming from? Why was it cut from certain departments? You don't know where it's coming from right now. He just said it was moved, but where? You need to ask those questions.
Further public comment. Ms. Tiger.
Don Geiger, 220 Cliff Jones here. I fail to see why not having an attorney here would be an emergency. If you guys needed an answer from the attorney, couldn't you make a phone call? He's not a doctor. We're not here for health. It's just nothing against you. I just fail to see why it's you have to have him for the meeting. I don't get it.
Further public comment? All right. Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
And Councilmember Michaels?
Aye.
Motion carries. New business item C is discussion decision, scheduling a committee of the whole meeting to review Town of Stevensville's purchasing policy. And we've rolled item A into this as well, where we schedule a committee of the whole meeting to review the purchasing policy as well as review position descriptions.
I'll make a motion to schedule a committee of the whole meeting for both items A and C.
On?
On, let's see, what day were you deciding?
I mean, you guys asked for the meeting, so do you have a date in mind, or there's four of you and one of me, and the staff will come when they're told to come. So,
does March 5th work for everyone?
March 5th.
It does not work for me.
Okay.
The 19th? You want to, I guess, keeping with the Thursday theme, is the 19th acceptable?
What day?
The 19th.
March.
Thursday, the 19th.
March.
Of March.
Yeah, that'll work for me.
What time?
Do 6:30.
6:30 is preferred.
Yeah, 6:30 would be preferred.
Earlier than 6, or 6:30, excuse me. Okay, the motion on the floor then is to hold a committee of the whole meeting on March 19th at 6:30 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick, second by Mr. Michelson. Any discussion? Public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Fink?
Aye.
Okay, we'll see you on the 19th. In the executive report tonight, I have a number of things I'll review with you. Pass those down, and for you, and I left my Stolkins in the box. All right. And mentioned in public comment tonight, we have at least one of the two developments that are mentioned in my executive report tonight, which is available on the town's website, both the addition to Creekside Meadows subdivision and, of course, what's been referred to as Nicole Court. In addressing the Creekside Meadows subdivision growth there, in January, the property was sold by Ellison Development to Burnt Fork Enterprise of Corvallis. They're local here in the valley. The developers have, in fact, been in touch with the town to gather information about code requirements and standards. To date, though, no application has been received for a subdivision on the property. There have just been some concept discussions as to what the town would require. In referring back to the town's growth policy and in consultation with our engineers, as it's been concern has been expressed to the town by the neighborhood there, the town's water and sewer systems do have adequate capacity to serve the areas already annexed into the city limits when they're fully built out. The sewer system, in fact, we learned through a calculation, is currently only operating at half of the capacity that it's capable of. Housing development proposed on the north end of Stevensville that we referred to as Nicole Court has not yet submitted formal plans or permits. I have not seen a set of plans to review. There have been some concepts thrown at Public Works in terms of water and sewer and connections and that sort of thing, so that when the final plans come forward for approval to the town, that they're as complete as possible. The preliminary concept drawings that we have seen and discussions we've had with the developers tell us that right now the project does not meet the criteria of a planned unit development. Planned unit developments are designed for a range of uses where there are mixed uses on a piece of property, and that piece of property has its own specified zoning under the PUD. This project only includes one single use, which is residential, and that project will be evaluated based on the R2 zoning of that property. However, we are asking the engineers on that project to pay special attention to the groundwater in that area, because our folks will be giving that an extra comb through to make sure it's adequate. On Third Street improvements, you know that in the fiscal year 2020 budget, we planned for some improvements to Third Street. It's been a project we've been trying to pull together for at least 2 years now. Engineers will meet with Public Works Department next week to review Third Street improvements project and begin planning process. So we've got some preliminary plans from a while back that helped us build the budget. We'd like to kind of nail down that scope with HDR. So we expect the process to kind of follow a order of preliminary project scope. We'd like to hold a neighborhood meeting in that area with the residents there to receive feedback on what the design looks like in terms of letting them know what sidewalk changes are coming and that sort of thing. We'll then pull together a final design, advertise for construction services. Council will then award a construction contract, and we'll hopefully wrap that all up in fall of 2020. It's also been mentioned tonight that the town has not yet put into place an interlocal agreement with the Rural Fire District. In January, in one of my January reports, I told you that you could expect a draft or something to come forward to you in February. And while I intended to attend the Rural Fire Board's meeting last week in hopes to bring something to you at tonight's meeting, my unexpected out-of-state travel didn't allow me to stick to that timeline. I have expressed my desire to work with the board and complete the agreement, and will connect with Chief Motley next week on where he is in his review. Like I reiterated in the January report, the former agreement holds over until a new agreement is adopted. Good news was received this week from this State Department of Emergency Services, or Department of Emergency Management, rather. The town was selected for a FEMA mitigation grant in the award of in the amount of $8,932 to complete, finally, the installation of the emergency generator at Town Hall. It will be promoted from parking block to useful tool. In 2017, that generator was acquired through the Department of Defense Property Surplus Program, just like the Gator that Mr. Michelson inquired of this evening. The grant was applied for when we received, shortly after we received that generator, and as we've noticed with federal programs, they move quite slow. And when we gave up hope that maybe we received the grant, they called and said, no, you got it. So they'll be here, in fact, tomorrow to do a facility walkthrough and to get us up to speed and get that process underway. Just to update you on projects that I brought forward at the last council meeting, of course, we've completed the org job, organizational chart and job description updates. That's finally off the docket. Of course, we'll have further conversation in reviewing those. The February month to date hours as of this afternoon were 126, which averages just under 32 hours a week for the month of February. In March, the first meeting of the month will include, I just had a couple of items there as room allowed. We'll consider the annexation of the 26 acres on Logan Lane in Middle Burnt Fork. There's some work on the strategic plan I'd like you to consider that we began in our workshop. The special audit, as Mr. Michelson is aware, that council requested, which we should be careful not to necessarily call it an audit, because that's not necessarily what it was. It was a review of the financials. That has been completed. Mr. Underwood has a copy of that if you'd like to review it, but for the sake of public discussion, we'll throw that on the agenda so that you can review it and provide comments as you wish. And you'll also be asked to consider or formalize anyway the Phillips Street right-of-way relocate, which is caused by the school's construction program. In addition to that, I anticipate a conversation around the interlocal agreement. And then, Mr. Vick, I apologize. We had promised to bring forward some changes to your climate action board. And with the chaos of the last couple of weeks, it didn't make it on.
I cried.
I'm deeply sorry. We needed more material to put on the 12th agenda, so we're getting that on there.
All right.
In terms of boards, Monica's had a chance to finally reconcile the board positions. And so a number of folks who are currently serving on boards, we've realized their terms have lapsed, essentially. So we'll send those folks memos letting them know that they'll hold over in their position, and then we're going to start beating the bushes, so to speak, to let folks know that a number of positions are available on all boards, and we'd welcome their applications. So you can expect some appointments to start hitting the agendas in the future. That concludes the executive report. I will just speak to one question that was asked regarding a budget amendment. And this came up on Tuesday as well with Mr. Michelson when we discussed budget in general. And I, if it's okay with council, when you guys discuss the purchasing policy, I'll have a presentation put together for you that kind of outlines the budget structure of the town. Because I don't think we've fully held an orientation with council members on what that looks like for you folks. So I'll put something similar. Bob and I talked, he thought maybe it would be helpful, something similar to the organizational chart that kind of outlines the budget as well. So Robert and I will pull our heads together on that and figure out what we can pull, get on your packet for that committee of the whole meeting so you kind of have an idea before you start talking financials. Concludes that. Is there any council comments? Mr. Michelson.
Yeah, and I'd just like to say that I've been getting some phone calls, well, actually for quite a while now, but I wasn't on council, but since I've been back, it has to do with the interlocal agreement. And it first came forward before the council. I went back and looked at all the packets. It came for in August of 2018. And then we brought it back again in 2019. In February, we took it to a Cal meeting where the rural board was here and the town was here. We discussed it at length and we came to the agreement. And then we brought it up in July, the July 14th meeting, and we approved them with the highlighted areas to be changed. And Scott reviewed it in November of last year because it's in his invoice where he reviewed the interlocal agreement. So it's done. It's out of the council's hands. It cannot come back before the council. So it sits on the mayor's desk, and the mayor stated tonight that he's going to get together with the rural fire district and complete this, and I think it would be for the betterment of the town that we put this behind us. I again state very much that the council is done with this. We made our decision last summer, and I would hope that we get this approved. I guess it doesn't matter if I say why is it or why isn't it, because it's a moot point now. It's in the mayor's hands, and he has to work out the details, I guess, with the rural fire board, because the council decision stands on this. Thank you.
Further council comments? Ms. Devlin?
I have a couple things. The vacating of the alleyway on Mission. Mm-hmm. Just wondering if we know status on how that's coming along or when we should expect to see that completed. And then I need to let council know one of my children was diagnosed with a pretty severe medical issue, and we are going to have to be going down to Denver the end of this month. I will miss the 27th meeting, and then there will be a chunk of time that I will be gone. I will be gone longer than 10 days. And we will be down in Denver again. So I will keep you posted on that. So I know I'll need to get approval, but just so you're aware, if I'm gone, I've got some pretty serious issues I'm dealing with, so.
The alley vacate documents have all been pulled together by Scott, thank you, and those just have to be sent up to the county once they're executed. So there was a couple realty transfer certificates we had to narrow down information on one of the property owners from, which was somewhat challenging because there was a transfer that we weren't aware of. So once that came to light, we narrowed that down and we'll get those filed sooner rather than later. I would imagine within the first week of March, we'll have that done.
Okay.
Okay, any further council comments? Speechless?
I'm quiet.
Okay. All right, board reports. Those are the new boards have met. Okay. With that then, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Those in favor.
Aye.
Thanks, everyone.